It's our final episode of this special series hosted by Mr. Masters, sharing more about Brentwood Academy's portrait of a graduate. Director of Athletics and Community Engagement, Jason Matthews, is in the studio today, and along with Mr. Masters, they share more about our final trait, problem solver.
Jason, as we think about the mission of the school, dedicated to nurturing and challenging each whole person, body, mind, and spirit, to the glory of God, we've talked about articulating what it looks like to hit that target. And in doing so, we came up with what we're calling the portrait of a graduate. Yep. Five characteristics: someone who's resilient, a critical thinker, a thoughtful communicator, a problem solver, and a Christ follower. When you think about that fourth one, the problem solver, what does it mean to be a problem solver?
I think, listen, when we were coming up with these details, I think the problem solver is something everyone can identify with. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, there's two different worlds. There's a world pre-COVID and there's a world post-COVID. And what we realize is after COVID, there's a lot of problems. And probably during COVID, there's a lot of problems. So what we're trying to equip our students with, and I'll even go further, our community with, the people that are problem solvers. Now, what does that mean to be a problem solver? Well, first of all, you got to identify what the problem is. Mm-hmm. Well, we don't have any shortages of that. I mean, we have a lot of mm-hmm. people at our school that say, hey, we could do this better, or we could do this better. And I think that's healthy in every community that we have. But I think what we're trying to look for is those people not only that can identify that there's a problem, but to say, hey, here's how we fix the problem. And now most schools would stop at that. And we're trying to take it a step further. Now that you know what the problem is and here's how you fix it, are you willing to step in mm-hmm. and fix it? And those, I think those are rarities. And I think that's part of what our job is, to get our students prepared to do that, not only in life after Brentwood Academy, mm-hmm. not only in life at Brentwood Academy, but what happens in the moment when that happens. You know, there's easy opportunity to complain about this. Is there a solution, and am I willing to step in and help?
Mm-hmm. I think those are great points and a perspective that you bring to the circumstances we face. Talk a little bit about the difference between someone who comes with the idea that you're going to make a difference and solve it, as opposed to somebody who's just settling for fussing about what isn't like it should be yet.
Yeah, I think it's the 80% and the 20%. I mean, I think that applies to everything from athletics to academics. Those are the ones that we're talking about to say, hey, I know that there's something out there in the middle of the road. Okay, well, what are you going to do about it? Well, I think what you need to do is go pick it up. Well, then who's going to go pick up the problem in the middle of the road? And I think really from my job of community engagement, I get a lot of that 80% that says, hey, there's something in the middle of the road. Mm-hmm. What we are really trying to train our students is, can you find that solution for mm-hmm. to fix it? And then of that 20%, we're probably looking at 5% that actually sit there and say, I'm willing to go in and do it. And I think those are just attributes that we think as a school mm-hmm. society needs. And I mean, when we mentioned this one in our portrait of a graduate, this is the one I was really, really happy about, because I think there are students all in college, and I think there are parents all over the place that maybe can do the first one, that may be willing to do the second one, but don't want to do the third one.
Mm-hmm. So when you think about developing this strength of character, problem solver, somebody who can come up with solutions, but somebody who's willing to step in to help make those solutions possible, what do you see as a foundation from your perspective as someone who's been involved with the admission office, somebody who's in community engagement, someone involved personally with coaching and athletics? What is it as a foundation that gives the hopefulness that lets somebody face the many different challenging circumstances of our world with a sense that there is meaning and purpose behind it, and therefore there ought to be problems that can be solved?
Yeah, that's a great, great question. Tough question. You know, I think the first thing for our kids is, and I think this goes from, I'm in two different worlds, from a teacher to a coach, is letting our children fail. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean fail out of school, that means understand that there is a problem. There's too many schools that want to say, hey, come here and everything will be perfect and there won't be problems. We want our families to know that there are going to be problems, and we want our children to know there are going to be times when there's a tough test. There are going to be times when you don't start. There are going to be times when, quite honestly, you don't get asked to the prom. Mm-hmm. These are problems, and these are things we then want people to understand. The next step of that is it's not hopelessness, it's hopefulness. Mm-hmm. We have a blessing at our school that we can talk about Jesus Christ, and we can talk about the gospel, and we can talk about the purpose behind things. Even when we don't see it and we don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. So we don't want the problem to be the end of the answer. We want to talk about what the answer is at the end of the problem. Mm-hmm. And for us, that's an easy answer to say Jesus, but how do we get them from saying there's a problem mm-hmm. to get to Jesus?
Mm-hmm. How do you see in the context of the school, faculty and staff, along with older students to younger, developing this perspective, the hopefulness that you're talking about, but also a willingness to engage?
Yeah, you know, one thing for us is whatever the problems are, and again, we're talking about blanket problem as one big thing. There's some major problems and there's some minor problems. You know, someone facing cancer, it's a little bit different than mm-hmm. Johnny who got a B on a test and parents are mad at him. But what we want to do, at least, as I said, once they fail, whatever that failing is, if they fail that, get that B on that test, is we want them to be able to communicate. So the communication piece of saying there's a problem, is there a teacher that I need to go talk to? How does a teacher communicate with the parents from that step? How does a parent then communicate back to Johnny about that? I think that is a valuable piece of it. But then how does Johnny get his grade up to an A in that situation? Well, you're going to have to go meet with the teacher. Well, the teacher has to be flexible enough to meet with them before school or during study hall. Well, the parents got to be able to bring them in early before school or maybe picking up after E3. And then ultimately, you got to put in the work. Johnny has to come back and put in the work and say, this is how I'm going to get it up to an A. And that's to me, it's a big community. So we're not talking about the child getting that. We're not talking about the parents doing that. We're talking about the child, the parents, and then the teacher being willing to do that. So I think the problem solving is a community. It's a community thing that I think we, as a Brentwood Academy staff, we've been talking about it for years. We've just brought it up from a porch of a graduate, but this is what we've been trying to do for years for our students.
Mm-hmm. I think that confidence as we work together in the community perspective, this idea that we have a reason for hope, that God's at work in everything that's going on, that God uses even the failures, the struggles, the things we don't control to help us grow into certain kinds of people has been a part of this. When you think about the deliberate pressures that we put on kids, the academic stresses, the fine arts where they're exposed on stage, the situations in athletics where somebody's trying to make them fail, talk a little bit about how the structures of the curriculum and the design we have in this school context really sets us up to be able to help people develop this problem-solving perspective.
Yeah, when I'm back in my old admission days, when we would tell the families, you know, we want Johnny to fail, and the parents would look at you like you're kind of crazy. Well, what does that mean? Well, we want to push them. We want to push them in a way that they haven't been pushed before, and it's designed that way to see how they react under stress. I'll jump to the athletic piece of it. This is one of the reasons I love athletics. You know, it's hard. It's miserable. You got coaches sometimes just pushing you beyond where you can go. But it gives you that thought that I don't think I can get to that line. And when someone's pushing you in a way that you don't think you can get to that line and pushes you beyond that line, that's a life strength that we want to give to our kids. So whether it's I'll use the example of kids that have never been on stage before. As you said, they get vulnerable. They get out there on stage, and that's one of the reasons I love our musical is because you see people up there that you would never think are capable of being up there. And to be honest, talking about my family members that shouldn't be up there, step out of their shadow and do some things that you can't believe. That's a problem-solving aspect. That someone that's scared to death to get up there and sing and dance, and they get up there and sing and dance. From an athletic standpoint, as you said, you're in some sports, you're out there with somebody's trying to knock your head off. Mm-hmm. That's a scary thing. But seeing those kids, I've been I've been on teams where we've had kids on the sidelines saying, don't put me in, coach. I don't want to go in. And I've seen other coaches get around this kid and say, hey, listen, you can go in, just go for one play and see what it's like. And seeing them take that step is a huge deal for us. So, you know, the world, the culture is telling you, protect yourself, don't expose yourself, don't make yourself get uncomfortable. And what we want to do is say, make yourself get uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And whether that's an academic setting or whether that's a fine art setting or whether that's an athletic setting, I know that's what we're doing at Brentwood Academy.
Mm-hmm. You know, putting people in that kind of situation where there is some risk, where there are some challenges, some problems, sometimes things outside our control can be risky. Talk a little bit about the part that the community plays in this, where the way older students treat younger students in cross country, for example, or the way that kids who haven't been on stage get encouraged by the kids who've been on stage and are comfortable with it. But talk about the part that the community plays in helping people be willing to step in. And then on the as a corollary, just the part, the impact that it has on the community when somebody's willing to step in to solve a problem, to bear a burden somebody else is carrying, to help out someone who is vulnerable, even if you're confident. So just that interplay of people learning, but people also learning to care for each other in this context of willing to step in.
Yeah, and I think that's where we're unique. You know, we don't have an elementary school. Our incoming sixth graders are close enough to those seniors that know how they do things. They know that, hey, we may be struggling in this sport right now, but they know them, whether siblings or whatever it is. So if you're a George McIntyre and you're walking in our school right now, those sixth graders know who you are. So it's more of just setting that example and saying, hey, I remember seeing Darius Garland out there on the stage and thinking, this kid doesn't need to be on this stage. He is out there on the stage. And I thought, those sixth graders, we even had kids from feeder schools over there watching him saying, I want to do that one day. So setting that example. But to the second part of your question, I mean, you know, that's really the life lessons we're talking about. And that's talking to you and me at some point. We do things and we think, hey, we're right. We've got all the answers. And then all of a sudden, we've got to humble ourselves and say, hey, maybe we don't have the answer. Let me go to you and say, what can we do to fix this? Problems and conflict are part of every society, of every institution, of every school, of every team. It's the good teams are the ones that can manage those problems well and say, not avoid them, but address them and let's see if we can fix them. And I think that's what our attempt is in this portrait of a graduate. Not to say, hey, there's not going to be problems at Brentwood Academy. As I said earlier, there are problems at Brentwood Academy. Not that they say that we don't have people that want to fix them. Of course people want to fix them, but this is how we're going to fix them. And again, having people specifically looking to help each child in each different area, I think it's a good thing of what we're doing. So.
Adversity comes in a lot of different forms. I mentioned earlier just this intentional approach we have. I taught math for a while. You give kids problems, and you ask them to solve those problems. They're practice problems, then there's a test problem. But the idea is that each problem builds on the previous experience, becomes successively more complex, maybe not more difficult because they've learned how to deal with the next level. Each level prepares you for a level beyond that. Yep. Talk a little bit about the progression in someone's character as they step out and take on a challenge, engage something, deal with an issue, whether it's being willing to ask forgiveness or being willing to confront someone where they have a difference, but to manage that in a way that leads to some resolution that builds confidence, and then those patterns that build in life that prepare you for the things that you don't anticipate.
Yeah, as you know, one of the things we talk about here is if you have a problem or a conflict with someone, not only do we expect you to go have had a conversation with that person, we think it's biblical to go have a conversation with that person. And that's difficult. That's difficult for adults, as it's even more difficult for children. I think from an adult perspective, if the children can see us do that, and again, we try to model it all the time, especially in the coach's world, because we know the kids sometimes see the conflicts between the coaches during a game or something like that. But if we can model that, then what that gives the kids confidence to say, okay, well, this is what it is. And again, that burden of having that conflict, my wife would tell you, Jason Matthews, runs the conflict. He likes the conflict. I don't like the conflict. I like problem solving. Mm-hmm. I like when there's a problem, I like to find a solution and fix the problem. But I don't sit there, I don't enjoy the time before the conflict and say, this is exactly what I want to be. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you, as we all know, after you address that conflict, it feels like it is just the biggest weight taken off of you. And that's really what we want to get our kids to grow that. And if they don't feel comfortable talking to, you know, we're talking peer to peer. If I'm a sixth grade football player and Lyle Husband doesn't play me, it's really difficult as Lyle Husband, the sixth grade coach, to say, hey, sixth grader, you go talk to the coach. That's pretty intimidating to say, coach, why am I not doing this? But it, as you said, it steps up. If they're not willing to do it in sixth grade, well, seventh and eighth grade is a different team. And then hopefully by the time they get to ninth and 10th grade, we're telling our kids as coaches, we're going to talk to the players. Mm-hmm. And as parents, you're going to step up. Now, that's not because we don't like the parents. It's saying because we're trying to develop a skill set for our kids to communicate and problem solve. Mm-hmm. Because it's, if you get in life and you cannot address these problems, which I think we're seeing in society right now, people don't want to address problems. They want to stay separate and cancel you or whatever it is. That's not what we want to do.
Mm-hmm. I think that willingness to go to a person is so important. And then the confidence, how we see ourselves, plays a part in that. We're talking about resilience, about critical thinking, about how we communicate. All of these play a part in how we address those problems and how we solve the problems. There's a piece of this that has to do with how I see myself and my role in the community, whether I take responsibility for others or just for myself, whether I look out for others. Talk a little bit about how that plays into how I view problems and how I see the role that I play, whether it's out of self-interest or out of the interest of the community.
Perfect. Yeah, I mean, you know, we're seeing a lot of parents or students that are worried about themselves and think this is my responsibility. Again, I don't know whether it's right or wrong, but we all signed up for this community at Brentwood Academy, and we say, hey, this is our community. Mm-hmm. And again, I just had this will be time stamping this podcast, but I just had a conversation with my class just this week about how, you know, when you are representing the school at a game, at a dance or whatever it is, you're representing the school. And if you go out and you have Brentwood Academy on your shirt or on your pullover, that means something. People are looking at how you're responding to this. So to me, different than a lot of different than most communities, I would say, is we want our families to understand. It's the famous or infamous, I should say, the 24-hour rule at Brentwood Academy. There's nothing officially from a 24-hour rule at Brentwood Academy, but we fully expect our students to understand they're representing Brentwood Academy, not only while they're here at school, which is common for schools, but if you're at 30A, you're representing our school. That's difficult for some parents and students to recognize because, after all, if you were reciting the mission, you would say, we're a school. That's exactly right. I was hoping we would get that one right. We're a school. So why are we stepping into that? And I think what the answer I always give is we care as much about Johnny when he's at the beach as a representative of the school, but also as a brother in Christ, than we do as just a sixth grader at Brentwood Academy. So those are big aspirations that we will probably never be able to hit. But I think it's important for our families to understand that's why we're doing it. Nobody wants to be the police. Nobody wants to say, hey, what did your kid do at spring break? Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, if we ever get to a point where a community where we say, hey, we as a community, this is what we want. This is what we signed up for. Mm-hmm. We're not looking for problems. But we're going to address the problems head on. Maybe not with you or with me, but we're going to address the problems head on. That would be something that would be an aspiration that I think we have.
One of those aspects about addressing a problem head on, of course, as you mentioned, defining what the problem or the issue is. Another is defining where you can go with that problem, where it'll really make a difference. Mm-hmm. Talk about the choice as we think of developing character and developing a perspective, how we help students recognize that you're choosing to respond to the problem in ways that can contribute to a solution or that can contribute to a problem.
Yeah, that's one of the big things I think we need with all of our students. And, you know, let's not put it just to students, but when there is a problem, I will use a very minor problem, but it was a big deal. Our students at a football game a couple weeks ago were playing a song that was not playing bad words, but it was a song that had bad words, and there was no bad words on it. Well, most schools, that's fine, that's okay. And most of our kids understood the uncomfortableness when that silent part went on that music. And then you got some parents out there that are worried, are we supposed to be playing this? And then you got some teachers and faculty and some administrators that are nowhere hearing that song or thinking, is that the right thing? And all those instances, the fact that they knew that something was inappropriate, It's actually a victory for Brentwood Academy, because we've at least won that one and said, hey, We don't think this is appropriate. But what we did not do is that third step of saying, we're going to reach in and we're going to say, this is not good. Not because we don't know. Heck, some of the music, I actually like what's going on. I can hear it. And I'm like, oh. But when it puts you in that situation, it's a tell of Brentwood Academy saying, hey, we're going to do worldly instead of what we think is biblically. Mm-hmm. And biblical. And that's what I really want our kids to really jump in and say, we're different because we do have people that are willing to jump into those conflicts.
Mm-hmm. So that idea of not just saying what's right, knowing what's right, but being willing to do it, to do what's right. You know, you think about a perspective grounded in this idea that the Bible is the very word of God and the authority that comes outside of ourselves that helps us assess what's right and what's wrong. Talk about a biblical perspective on the world and how we view the problems that exist in the world because of our nature and fact that we're all capable of doing things that aren't right.
Well, again, I think it's really rare to have a school where most Christian schools will believe that from a standpoint. But I mean, just to say that we're all flawed. Mm-hmm. To say that we're sinners, we won't get into your stories about when you have hard conversations with people, when you say, guess what it told us about you? Mm-hmm. It told us that you're exactly like me. Mm-hmm. I think there's something about falling and saying, hey, we're fallen. We're broken. We all need help. You're not any different than I am. Mm-hmm. So if there's a problem, understand, hey, if you got in trouble for this, pretty sure somebody in the faculty got in trouble for that when they were in high school. We're not any better or any different than that. But admitting it and then understanding that, listen, we can't do it by ourselves. The price has been paid. When the price has been paid, the victory has been won. Mm-hmm. But there's this whole thought of saying, this is the direction we're moving. And I love your analogy about having a target. And if we're all moving towards that target, we may be all coming from different areas. Mm-hmm. But as long as we're aimed that way, our target's Jesus at this school. And ultimately, if everybody's moving that direction, we're okay. Some people are moving faster. Some people are coming at shorter angles. But we're all moving in that direction. And I think that's what our hope is, even from the problem-solving section of the portrait of a graduate. All problems, you can go from the worst now. Let's go the opposite. It's not cheating. This is cancer. We think the hope is in Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's the answer to all of them. And I think there's just a comfort knowing that when things get bad. So. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for sharing that. The confidence that God's at work in everything that goes on gives a perspective to how we view this character trait and the skill of being a problem solver and being willing to jump in to offer that hope that you were talking about. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Your thoughts on problem solving and how that contributes to the life of Brentwood Academy.
Yes, sir.
We hope you've enjoyed this series on Brentwood Academy's Portrait of a Graduate. If you missed any of the 6 episodes in this series, we invite you to go back and listen or watch the episodes on our BA YouTube channel. Thank you for listening. We'll be back soon with all new content to share from the Brentwood Academy campus.